We begin the current daf and sechtes peya daf chafal. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, there was an opinion mentioned in the previous daf that although there was a machlekes in the past Mishnah in between Bisham and Beisil regarding what type of karbonis could be brought on Yom Tiv, whether it's only Shama Chagiga or like Beisil, even Olas Re'ia, however, everyone would agree that Nedarim and Nedavis cannot be brought on Yom Tiv. It's only somebody that's an obligation for Yom Tiv, but something like a Neder that someone takes an oath to bring, or a Nedava that he's donating a carbon, that cannot be brought on Yom Tiv. Now, related to that, the Gemara brings the following discussion. Bayimine Rav Avya Savim Rav Huna. Rav Avya the Elder asked the following question from Rav Huna. Behema, regarding an animal, Chetzi Shal Nachri B'Chetzi Shal Yisrael. It's half owned by a Jew and half owned by a non-Jew. Ma'u l'shach tibi yamtiv, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to slaughter it on yamtiv? And that is, a Jew's animal you're allowed to slaughter because you need for yourself and eichel nefesh is permitted, but a non-Jew's is not permitted. What's the halacha if it's half and half? So amalei mutter, said that's permitted. So on that he asked him, amalei, but v'chima bein zeh l'nadar m'nadavis, but what's the difference between the case that we just described that you said is permitted and between that and nadava, where a carbon that's a neder and nadava that one is donating and bringing, and it doesn't have to be brought right now, but he wants to bring it, where half it goes to the person, they get to eat all the different parts of the animal, and half it go to Hashem, and yet still the Gemara said in the previous daf that that's forbidden to be slaughtered because of the part that's going to Hashem. So you see that although part of it is going to you, but since it's not necessary, and it's not only going to you, it's going to Hashem, that there's no heter of eichel nefesh for. It's only lechem for you, but loy legvayah not for Hashem. And therefore, so why should this case of the guy and the Yisrael, from the non-Jew and the Jew, to be any different? Where if it's half and half, it should be forbidden. So Malay say, Rav Huna responded to me, says, Urva parach. He says, well, look, there's a raven flying over, and he distracted him to something else. So Kinafak, when Rav Avya left, so Amalei Rabba Breis, or Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, said to his father, says, Lav Hainer Rav Avya Saba, isn't this Rav Avya the elder, the Mishtabeach Le Mar Begavei, that the master, meaning you, my father, didn't you praise him, the Gavar Rabbahu, that he's a great person, a Talmud Chacham? So why'd you just, you know, distract him and push him away, and then he went away in disgrace, like you didn't answer his question? So Amalei, so Rav Huna responded to his son, he says, Uma Everle, what should I do for him? Ani Hayom, me today, in other words, this was Yom Tov, and he says, I lectured for the public, and I'm tired out, I'm all worn out from the effort and exertion I put into giving my lecture, and so therefore, regarding me, you could say the following pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that Samchuni Vashishas, support me with cakes, Ravduni Batapuchim, spread apples around me. In other words, bring me a meal, and I'll have to eat, because Ubayi Minayim Milsa, the Bayi Taima, he asked me a question that needs to have a reason. In other words, I have to think about it, I have to look into it, it's a very good question, but it's not something I could have just answered just like that in my weakened state. But now the Gemara continues the question and asks, so what time am I? So what is the reason? What is the difference? Now, Rav Huna said, the halacha is that half Jew, half non-Jew, you could slaughter it. But a carbon, which is half a Yisrael and half Hashem, that you can't. What's the difference? So that the Gemara answers, behema, regarding an animal that's chetzi shel nachri v'chetzi shel Yisrael, that's half owned by a Jew. Half it is the Jews and half it's the non-Jews. Mutal l'shach to be yamtiv. There you're allowed to slaughter on yamtiv. Because the ef shel kezai is basav l'shchita. The Jew is allowed to slaughter an animal to be able to eat the meat on yamtiv. You can do malachas for eichel nefesh. Now, to access my half of the animal could only be if I slaughter the whole animal. Because even to get just a kezayis, no matter what small piece, that is the Jew's shear, can only be if you slaughter the whole animal. Now, that's why a lot of slaughter the animal, although his animal is also being slaughtered, but it's just to get to mine. Avnadarm and the dava is also l'shachem yantam. However, a carbon that's being brought voluntarily to the Beis HaMikdash on yamtiv is forbidden to slaughter, because that's fundamentally different. Because the kahanim kikozachu, when the kahanim merit to take their parts of the carbon, whether they be the chaz of a sheikh or even the owners that get the rest of the meat, mishulchan gavoya kazachu, they are only meriting it from the table of Hashem. In other words, like a servant who takes a piece of what his master has, the same thing is the same thing over here. By a carbon, it's not half the Jews and half Hashem's, it's all Hashem's. Once you give it over to Hashem, Hashem then says, here, you could have a piece of my carbon, of my food, and therefore it's being done just for Hashem. Now that's not lechem, that's ligvaya, and therefore that's forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. It was actually half and half, that would be permitted, just like it's permitted by Yisrael and by Nachri, but that's not actually how the process goes. Now related to this, the Gemara makes another distinction. Amar Rav Chizda says, again, behema chetzer shal Nachri, b'chetzer shal Yisrael. If you have an animal that's half owned by a Jew, half by a non-Jew, So mutl shachta b'yamtiv, then you could slaughter it on yamtiv. As we said, d'yef shlikasayis basa b'yishchita, because although I'm slaughtering, quote, his animal too, but it's just to get to my food, and I can do malachas to get to my kazayis of meat that's in the animal. However, isa, regarding a doe, that's chetzra shel nachri v'chetzra shel yisrael, half owned by a Jew and half owned by a non-Jew, that's asa l'afayis b'yamtiv. That doe that we share together cannot be baked in yamtiv. And the reason is, d'ha efshru lei l'mifla g'balisha, because it is possible to separate it when they're needing it. In other words, to make it half his dough and half your dough. Now, although it's together and we're sharing it, fine, but that's not a reason to say it's permitted to bake, because you're going to be doing malachas of yamtiv, not for eichel nefesh, for the Jewish purposes, because you're going to be baking his half too, which you could separate. It's not the same as shechita, where you can't slaughter half the animal, and therefore there it's permitted, and here it's going to be forbidden. Now, this halacha, Master of Chana Bar Chanilo, he asked from Mishnah Masechta Chala, that says, Isas Klavim, the dough that was generally baked to feed to the dogs. Now, so the Mishnah says, Bizman Sharoyin Eichemena, if at a time, if it's talking about a case where the shepherds also eat from those doughs, although it was made like a certain way for the dogs, but the shepherds would eat from it too, then Chayevis Bechala, then it's obligated in the obligation of Chala, because this is also called lechem, it's called bread, because the shepherds eat from it, and therefore it's chayev in the challah, which from any dough that a person makes bread out of it, you have to give a portion of it to the kohen. Uma arvimba, and one could use it for an eruv, for a eruv chatzeris, where that's if, let's say, there was many homes that shared a common courtyard, where then the houses have to join together, because since the houses are owned by individuals, and the chatzer is a common courtyard for everybody, so Chazal were concerned that if we let people carry into that, although it's not going from Rishus Yochat to Rishus Rabam, but it looks like a Rishus Rabam on some level because it's shared by many, where you're going from a private domain of your home, so therefore Chazal required, our sages required, one to make an Erev, which is that then everyone puts their food in one person's house, and it's as if we're all sharing that this courtyard is just one individual's courtyard, and therefore that won't confuse with going from Rishus Yochat to Rishus Rabam. So that is what we're saying, that you could even use this bread that's made for the dogs. If the shepherds eat from it, it's also valid to be considered bread in the usage of an eruv chatzeris. Umishtatvimba, a similar type of halacha is what's called shitufa mevois, which it's essentially the same halacha by eruv chatzeris, but in a larger scale, where these homes would open up generally into a courtyard. Then there would be many courtyards opening up into a mavui, which is some type of an alleyway, which would then lead the people into the Rishus HaRabim. So on that, when people would join together to say that now that, let's say, we have each chatzer is a Rishus HaYachid, because let's say they did a Rib Chatzeris, now we want to have to be able to carry in the Mabui too, so then we take all the Chatzeris and they join together and put food together in one of the Chatzeris, then it would be considered that it's the Mabui is one person's chatzer, which is one person's home. And we could even use this bread for that too. Another halacha regarding this bread, if it's eaten by the Shebets too, is a Mavarchin Lau. We make a Bracha V'Maitzi on it. We also make a bracha of zimun, which is when you have three people eating together a meal with bread, then they bench afterwards. So before they bench, they make what's called zimun, which they say, Rabbeisai Nevarech, so that could be done even if they're making a meal on this bread too. V'ne'efes b'yamtim, and this bread could be baked on yamtim, and that's because of the portion that the shepherds eat, which is considered eichel nefesh, so therefore you're allowed to bake this bread similarly on yamtim too. And finally, v'adam yitzah b'yidei chavas v'pesach. A person fulfills his obligation with this if he makes it into matzah on Pesach, which is, where do we find the obligation to eat matzah on Pesach? That's the first night of Pesach where there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, as the Pasuk says, be'erev teichel matzahs. Now, the other days, if a person wants, he doesn't have to eat matzah, he could just eat other things, but the first night he has a chiyav, so one could even make this bread that's made for the dogs, if the shepherds eat from it too, then it could even be made into matzah, which one could fulfill his chiyav on the Seder night of Pesach. Now that's the Mishnah Masechtas Challah. Now that the Gemara asks, Vamai, why do we say that we could bake this dough, which is given for the dogs, but the shepherds eat from it too? So it could be baked on Yom Tov. But v'efshar lei l'miflah g'balisha, what do you mean? You could separate in the kneading. Why is this dough for the dogs that the shepherds also eat from any different from a dough that's shared by a Jew and a non-Jew, where there you say that it's aser, because you could separate it, so you can't cook the whole, you can't bake the whole thing, even though it's for the Jew too, but it's also by the non-Jew, and you could separate it. Here also you could separate for the dogs and separate for the shepherds. So the shepherds you could bake, but who said anything about the dogs? So that the Gemara answers, Shana Isis Klavim, the dough for the dogs is different. Because you could appease them with a carcass of a dead animal, and therefore it could be that all of it will be eaten by man, by the shepherds, because the dogs, maybe you could appease them and give them something else. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, does Rav Chisda, who is saying this halacha, that the reason why the dogs is going to be permitted is because, maybe, you know, since you could technically have the shepherds eat all of it, because what are the dogs going to eat? You'll give them a dead carcass of an animal. But the question is that ultimately in this case, really, what you really are doing is that you're going to give half the dough to the shepherds and half the dough is going to go to the dogs, because we're not talking about that you have a dead animal carcass. Now, because you're relying on that, if you would have had an avela, then you could have given it to him, and therefore, technically, it could be all for the Jew, all for the shepherd. So that's considered a concept of hoyla. Since if I could have, I would have, and therefore that's the way it could be even now. But vo'idma, but we learned where it seems that Rav Chisda did not hold of hoyla. We learned the following machloikis. Ha'ifa miyamtiv l'chal. If someone bakes from yamtiv for the weekday, which is it's he already ate his last meal, and then he bakes where it's obvious he's doing it for the weekday. Now, so we have machlokes if he gets malchus or not. Rav Chisda malchus. Rav Chisda says the person gets lashes. You're violating cooking, which the malacha and yamtiv not cook only for oichel nefesh for yamtiv. Here it's obviously not cooking for yamtiv. And Rabbi Amar Eino like Rabbi says you don't get lashes. Now the Gemara explains the machlokes. Rav Chisda malchus he says you get lashes because lo yamrinan hayil. We don't say that since umekalele orchem chazle. Oh, since if guests would still be coming, let's say I ate my last meal. It's like 2 hours left to the end of yamtiv. Obvious, I'm not eating. I'm baking now. So I'm sure baking for the weekday. But if guests would come, I'd be able to bake for them because that would be Echel Nefesh. So Hashta Nami Chazulei. So now also it's fit for the person and therefore it's considered not a malacha type of baking because I could have technically been permitted. That Ruch says, you don't say that. You don't say since. And therefore you're going to get Malkus. Rabba Amma Eino, like he says, you don't get lashes because Amina Hel, you do say Hail. Oh, since if they would come, this would be permitted. So even now it's going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, you see, Rav Chisda says, you do not say Hail. So how could he say by the Isis Klavim that it's not going to be Usr because you could bake it for the shepherd because technically you could have given a nevela to the dogs, but we don't say Hail according to Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says, El Eloitem a Hail ve'Asha. Don't say by the case of the dogs, the Isis Klavim, where you're allowed to bake the whole dough on Yamtim because since it is possible, Ella Kagoin de Isla in the Vela, rather talking about that there actually is the case that we permit you to bake the entire dough on Yom Tov is that you actually have a dead animal carcass. Devade Efshalaf Isim in the Vela, where there definitely it's possible that you could go appease him with the dead animal carcass, and therefore it's not a sense, not hoil that, oh, had this been this way, then I could have had a permitted way. No, there's actually in the Vela. And therefore it's really technically that you are baking it all for the shepherd. You might decide to give some of it to the dog, but you don't have to. And that's why you can bake the entire thing, because it is considered lechem. It's all considered eichel nefesh for the shepherds. Now, continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Boyim b'nei mirav huna. They ask from Rav Huna the following question. Hani b'nei baga. Regarding these Jews that live in the villages, diramu alayu kimcha de b'nei chala. That's incumbent upon them the flour of the soldiers, which is that the king would place upon the inhabitants of the villages to bake and to cook for his soldiers that fight his wars. Now, what's the halacha? They allowed to bake on Yom Tov. We know one is allowed to cook and bake on Yom Tov, but here it's not being done for them. They're doing it for the soldiers, which should be forbidden because it's not lachem. So that Amar Lahu, he said to them, chazina, let's see, it depends. Iyav le riftali yinuka, if a person, one of the Jewish inhabitants of that village, who has to cook and bake for the soldiers, if he would give one of the pieces of bread that he's baking for the soldiers to his child, and the soldiers wouldn't be particular about it, they wouldn't mind, then kochad v'chada, that means every single piece of bread, chazi liyanuka v'shari. That means say that it's fit for his child, because everyone I'm baking, technically I could give it to my child, which is considered eichel nefesh for yamtiv. Now, and therefore, although if I'm going to end up giving it to the soldier, but that's okay, because each one I could technically be making it for my child. Which Rashi learns that this is arguing on Rav Chisda's halacha, who he said that when it's half a Jews and half a non-Jews, it's forbidden to bake. Rashi learns, not like Taisis, that this is obviously Rav Huna is not agreeing to that, because obviously you're not giving all of this to your child. It's like a half and half. You could choose which part. And still Rav Huna holds that that's permitted because technically, each part could be going to the Jew, and therefore you can make all of it, even though you're going to be giving a lot of it to the non-Jewish soldiers. V'ilav aser, but if not, if they'd be particular and say, nope, you have to make it just for the soldiers, and if you're going to give it to your child, that's forbidden, then you can't say that svara, and therefore that means you're making only for the non-Jewish soldiers, and that would be forbidden because you can't bake. That's an issur malacha of Yom Tov to be done on Yom Tov. Now that the Gemara asks on Rav Huna's halacha, but Vatanya Lidin Abrai says as follows. Maisa b'Shimon HaTimni, a very similar incident. There was a story with Shimon HaTimni, it was from the place of Timnas. Shleibo emesh lebeis hamedrash. He didn't come the evening with the night of Yom Tov when Yom Tov began. Now b'shachris matzir b'Yehuda ben Bava. So in the morning, Yehuda ben Bava met him. So Amalei said to him, why didn't you come last night to the Beis HaMedrash? You always come to learn. He didn't come. So Amalei, so he answered him. He says, Baleshes Bali Reinu. There was this large army of non-Jewish soldiers that they came to search and to plunder everything that we have in our city. They wanted to grab away all the resources of the city. Now, we didn't want that to happen. They didn't want to just plunder everything that we had. So we slaughtered for them a calf and we gave them to eat. And they went away in peace. We appeased them. We said, we saw all this trouble. So we went and they said, oh, here, we brought food for you. They slaughtered a whole calf and they gave it to them. And that's why I was busy last night. I couldn't come to the Beis HaMedrash. So Amalai, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava told him, says, Tameyani, I wonder, im lo yotze scharchem, if you didn't lose what you gained, in other words, if the gain that you had with you saved your money, which they didn't plunder you, behavsetchem, with your loss, and that is because of the loss of the punishment you're going to get for being lechal yamtiv, for desecrating the yamtiv. Shahari Amr, Torah, because the Torah tells you, lechem, that although it says you could do a malacha v'echa nefesh, that's only lechem for you, the Jewish people. V'loy loyv de kechavim, and not for non-Jewish people. And here you went, and you slaughtered, and you cooked this food for the non-Jews. That's forbidden. You did chil yamtiv. So now the Gemara asks as follows, v'amai. But why is that? According to Rav Huna, hachazi l'meichel minei, that meat, that calf that they slaughtered for the non-Jewish soldiers, technically, the soldiers wouldn't have been particular because it wasn't theirs, it was the Jewish people's stuff. If a Jewish person would have, after cutting up the calf, eaten a piece for himself, they wouldn't have been particular. And therefore, why is he telling him, according to Rav Huna, that was chil yamtiv, you weren't able to do that because you did it for the non-Jews? But what do you mean? I could have eaten a piece of it. And if that's the case, that's considered eichel nefesh, just like he said that you're allowed to make for the soldiers if every single piece of bread you could have given to your child. So why does he tell him over there that's forbidden? Some Rabbi Yisrael says it's not a kasha on Rav Huna because igel treifa havi, that was talking about a non-kosher calf, which that's what they slaughtered for the non-Jewish soldiers, that you can't say that they could have eaten. And therefore he says that was chil yamtiv, that you lost more than you gained. But then the Gemara continues asking about chazil l'klavim, but it's fit to give to the dogs. And if it's fit to give to the dogs, that should be permitted to be done in yamtiv. And therefore, even though you give it to non-Jewish soldiers, that shouldn't be a problem. So that the Gemara answers tanoihi. That's a machlikas tanoim. That is, there's a tan that holds that it's forbidden to do a malacha of cooking on Yom Tov for dogs. That's why he told them that it's aser. But according to our point, that's not difficult because it was told on a kosher calf. You're right. It would have been permitted. He wouldn't have told Shemnat Timni that you did an iser malacha on Yom Tov. It was just because it was non-kosher and therefore there was no utility for the person and therefore it's not considered lachem. And the fact that you could give it to a dog is also not, because he was going according to the pin to hold, you cannot do a malacha v'echal nefesh anyamtev for the dogs. The time I learned the bright side, it's a machlekes. The pasuk in Shemayis that talks about the heta v'echal nefesh says, ach, however, asher yochal l'chol nefesh, that which is eaten for every person, every soul, hu levad yos lechem, that alone is what you're allowed to do. In other words, you cannot do a malacha anyamtev just like Shabbos, but for echal nefesh purposes, for eating, that is allowed to be done. Now, so the Brisa says, now I would understand from the words that it says in the pasuk, ach ashi ochel chol nefesh, however, that which is eaten for every soul, I would include in the pasuk what's permitted to be done in Yom Tov of cooking and making food, even for the soul of an animal. We find that the term of nefesh goes on the animal. Whoever smites the soul of an animal will have to pay for that damages. Now, so therefore, I would include the nefesh of behemah that you can make food for the animal. So on that, the Braisa says, Tamal loy melechem, but that's why the Pasuk says, for you, I'm continuing on Tamid Beis, what does that come to say? Lechem, loy leklavim, dir Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Rabbi Yisrael Glili learns, and that's the opinion that Yehuda ben Bava was going on and saying that, since it was an egel treifa, which it's not a difficult on Rav Huna, because therefore it could not have been eaten by Shimon HaTimni and his people the people that were coming to plunder the city, and the fact that it can be given to a dog, that it's not permitted to do the type of malachas and yamtiv because they learn, although it says nefesh, but that's what the pasuk comes to teach you by lechem, to tell you for you, the people, and below the klavim, not for the dogs. And that's why he told him that, I think you machal yamtiv, and therefore you lost more than you gained. However, B'kivayim, he argues, and he says, afilu nefesh behemah b'mashma, he says that no, when it says in the pasuk, l'chol nefesh, it includes even to the nefesh of an animal. Now, im kema tam lechem, so then what does lechem come to teach you? What's it excluding if it's not an animal? It's for you and not for non-Jews. Now, so then the question is, where did you see fit to include the permission of making food, doing malachas of food for the dogs, and to exclude non-Jews? What would be the difference? Where do you see that difference? So on that he says, Mar ben yes haklovim, I will include dogs that you're allowed to do a malacha v'echel nefesh, shemezeinais nalacha, because their food isn't coming upon you. You have to provide food for the dogs, and therefore, even on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do it. However, I would exclude, when it says the term nefesh, which is including nefesh, which could include either a non-Jew or an animal, and then you have lechem excluding someone, I will include from nefesh an animal because that's who I have to provide for, and lechem that's exclusive and saying only for you and not for others would exclude a non-Jew because it's not incumbent upon you to provide sustenance for the non-Jews. And again, that's why this case of the dogs, of the when he had slaughtered the treif for calf, which although it's fit for dogs, he said, look, you're mechal yamtiv because you can't make food for non-Jews. And he held that lechem also excludes v'loy leklavim. And that's why it was aser, and it's not a difficulty in Rav Huna, because since it was a treifa, it wasn't fit for the person or for his children. But again, it would be like Rav Huna, that if it was fit for the child, then each piece you could say that was for me or was for my child, and that wouldn't be aser. Now, Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef, continue on this Gemara. Abayi said to Rav Yosef, Ul Rav Yosef Glili da Amal Lechem Lo Leklavim. This opinion we just quoted before, which Rav Yehuda ben Bava was going with when they told Shimna Timni that you mechal yamtim, that when it says in the Torah that you could do a malach of echel nefesh for you, but not for dogs. So then he asked him, how do we do this following thing? Hani sufli, these date pits, lechevasa, for the animals, heichesh adin lo b'yamtiv, how do we throw it to the animals on yamtiv? And that is, since humans are not going to eat date pits, now, the food of animals are not permitted for us to do malachas for that on yamtiv, as we just said, according to him, it says lechem lo leklavim. So that means it's even usher to move it, it's muktza. So how do we go ahead and we take it and we throw it to the dogs, to the animals, but we don't allow malachas and yamtiv for animals? So Amalisa, he said to him, no, it actually has utility for lechem, because since you could use the date pits for fuel for the fire, which that you're allowed to do, these are all going to eichel nefesh, heterim of cooking and baking and making, so therefore we can use it, it's not muktzah, and therefore we can throw it to the animals. So then he asked, however, tenich b'yabeshta, that's very good when they're dry, those pits. Beretivta mayaklamim, what are you going to say about the moist ones, where they're not used, you can't use it as fuel, it's not going to burn up. So it has no utility for lechem, so how do we throw that to the animals? Somebody said to him, chazulah hasagadlot, no, it could still be used for fuel, by a large fire, where then, even though it's moist, it's going to burn up. So he says, fine, tenich b'yamtiv, that's very well, I understand, on yamtiv, since it's considered lechem, so therefore you can use it in a fire, and that's why it's not considered muktzah, and you can throw it to the animals. But b'shabbos ma'ikalamim, what are you going to say about Shabbos? Shabbos we can't cook, so therefore what utility do these date pits have for us that they're not muktzah because we can't do malacha for the animals? How do we throw it to them? So then he says, you're right, they actually are muktzah on Shabbos, but metaltalinan luhu agav rifta, we can move the date pits with a piece of bread, and that's how we throw it to the animals. Kedishmul, like Shmuel says, Damashmul, that Shmuel says, Isa adam kol tzarkim pas. You can use bread for all different types of utility, and you can move the date pits through the bread, and we're not considered that's considered bizayin oichlin, as if you're disgracing the bread, although it's getting dirty with the date pits. It's okay, Shmuel holds you can use your things, and therefore that's how we can go ahead and pick it up and throw it to the animals on Shabbos. Now the Gemara goes back to Rav Huna's halacha that we mentioned on Amud Aleph, where he said this chiddush that even though they were making it for the soldiers, but if every single piece you can give it to your child and they won't protest, that means technically every single piece of bread you're making for your family, which is considered lachem, and therefore even though you're giving it to them, that's not going to be a problem of chil yamtiv. Now on that the Gemara says to pligad Rabbi Shuban Levi. Now besides like Rashi had learned that Rav Huna was arguing Rav Chisda, who he said that when you have a dough half Jew, half non-Jew, that's forbidden, he's also arguing on Bishuman Levi. Then Bishuman Levi said, Mizamnes Anachri B'Shabbos, says you'll not invite as a guest a non-Jew for the Shabbos Suda, but Ve'im Mizamnes Anachri B'Yamtiv, you cannot invite a non-Jew for the Yamtiv Suda. And the reason is, Gzeres Shemiyar B'Shviloi. Now, Yamtiv, you're cooking, everyone's making food. Now, oh, we have a guest, and he's a non-Jew. You might come to add more food for the non-Jew, which is forbidden, because malachas are forbidden. It's only for Eichel Nefesh that you're going to eat for Lachem, for you, the Jewish people, not for a non-Jew. And therefore we say you can't even invite him because you might come to make food for him. Now, that's obviously not like Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says you can make for the non-Jews. Because technically, if I would take from it, now, definitely if I have a guest, if I take it and eat it, it's he's not going to protest because whatever I give him, he should be happy with. And yet still we say, Rabbi Shmuel Levi says that one cannot invite him because he might add for him. Obviously, he disagrees with Rav Huna's principle of that technically if I would take it from my son or from myself, that then they wouldn't protest and it's permitted. He obviously holds that it's us. Rav Achabi Yaakovam, he says even more. He says, no, even on Shabbos, you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew as a guest. And the reason is Mishum Shiura Kaisis, because of the leftover wine that's left in his cup, where they used to dip their bread inside the cup, and now the whoever's cleaning up the table is going to clean away the cup and put it away, is going to be carrying that wine that's dirty left on the bottom of the cup with that those pieces of bread. That's considered usher to move. And therefore, we don't want to invite him even on Shabbos, because then the person might end up cleaning it up and violating that isra of moving it. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's the reason why we don't invite the non-Jew because of the leftover wine that's all dirty with the bread on the bottom of the cup, so the danami, then even our cups, is also not fit for anyone to drink. It's also disgusting of the piece of bread they dipped into the wine. So that itself should be a problem. Forget about the non-Jew, even ourselves. How do they clean up the tables? So that the Gemara answers, no, the dan chazal tanagan. Our wine, even though it's all soiled and has those pieces of bread on the bottom of the wine, you can give it to the chickens, and therefore it's not considered muktzah. So the Gemara says, "Two nami chazal tanigam," but then the non-Jew's wine is also fit to give it to the chickens. Well, the Gemara says, "No, because the two isuria non-Jew. Their wine is the wine of a non-Jew. Wine of a non-Jew is forbidden to have any pleasure from it, which means that you can't even give it to your chickens. And therefore, since it has no utility whatsoever, it's considered muktzah, and therefore you can't move it. And if you can't move it, that's a problem because the person is going to end up cleaning up the table and putting away that cup. Therefore, to avoid that problem, we don't even invite a guest, a non-Jew, even on Shabbos." The Gemara asks, but why? Bulatatinu agav kasa. Why? Yes, the wine is has no utility. It's muktzah, has these pieces of bread inside on the bottom. But why can't you move it through the cup itself? As the Gemara says, Mila Marava, didn't Rava say, Metatlin kanuna, we can move this kanuna, which is a type of utensil that they would put coals inside of it. Agav kitme, that is, because of the ashes that are inside of it, because they needed the ashes, which were prepared for before Shabbos, to cover if someone had to spit on the floor or through his excrement, so they would use these ashes to cover over that. Avagav de ikolel shivri etzim, and that rabbi said, even though there are broken pieces of wood inside that, which are not ashes, which are not fit to be used on Shabbos, and therefore they're muktzah, however, he said, you could still move this pan that has inside the ashes and the piece of wood, because there is something that's not muktzah there. Therefore, since this cup is a non-mukta item, it's something that you can use on Shabbos, so although it has inside of it something that is mukta, which is this leftover wine on the bottom, but since there is a non-mukta item here, that itself should allow us to move it, just like you say by the case of kanuna, where since there's something non-mukta, which are the ashes, it permits us to move it, even though there are mukta pieces of the pieces of wood that are not ashes. So that the Gemara says, there's a difference. Hasam lavi isurin hanoninu. There, those, you're right, those broken pieces of wood are muktzah because it has no utility. You're not going to use it to cover over someone's spit or excrement. But they're not something that's forbidden to have pleasure from. They're just muktzah. You can't move them. Here, that wine on the bottom of the cup of that goblet is actually forbidden to have any pleasure from it. And therefore, as Rashi says, they're more muktzah. And therefore, there's more stringent its movement. And therefore, even though there's a cup here that I want to be able to use, they're so muktzah because the Yisur HaNoah, I can't even move it because of the cup that is permitted. So the Gemara says, fine. So based on those principles, you're right. You wouldn't be able to move the cup, and therefore it's muktzah, and that's a problem because they're going to want to clean up the table, and they're going to end up moving it. So to avoid that problem, we don't invite non-Jewish guests even for Shabbos. But on that, Omalei Rav Acham Edifni L'Ravina says, but there should be another halachic principle that does allow us to move away that goblet of wine with the leftover wine of the non-Jew on the bottom. Because we'll have it, kigrav shel rei. It should be like utensil holding excrement, where that's something that's permitted to be moved and cleaned out to the garbage, because it's disgusting. As the Gemara says in the last paragraph of Lamed Vav Mabez, where if, let's say, you have something that's smelly and dirty and it's getting in the way, even though it's muktzah, you let it get it out. Now, therefore, that should apply here also. You have this cup that has these pieces of bread and dirty wine that's forbidden to have a knot on the bottom. That itself should allow us to clean it out from the table. And therefore, what's the problem about having him? You'll be able to move it away. So that Amalei says, look, you're right. Based on Grav Sharei, after the non-Jew drinks from it, and it's here, you'll be able to move it. But v'chi oisin Grav Sharei l'ketchila, do you think we make initially a situation of creating a Grav Sharei? In other words, you're right. If the non-Jew is here and he drinks, we can move it away because it's something that's repulsive. However, to bring a man to create something that's disgusting to then move it away, do we permit that? We don't permit that. You can't go ahead initially and create a situation of graf shel reh. If you have the water dripping out of the air conditioner, which is going to be something disgusting, you can't go ahead and make a situation where it's going to collect and then say, oh, it's graf shel reh, come move it away. No, you can't create that situation in the first place. Here also, that same situation, you can't invite him to then say, oh, look, it's disgusting, we could move it. And therefore, since that's what it's going to be, then you won't be able to, and then you'll be able to move it, but you can't create it in the first place. That's why you can't even invite guests, even on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says, la halacha, that Adbere Rava Lamar Shmuel Bedarish, Rava took Mar Shmuel for a walk and he expounded to him the following halacha. He said, Mizaminis Anachib Shabbos. He holds that you could invite a guest for Shabbos. We're not concerned about this halacha of the leftover cup of wine. But Ve'im Mizaminis Anachib Yom Tov, you cannot invite a non Jewish guest on Yom Tov Gizir Shem Yabba Bishuli because you might come to cook for him, obviously like a Bishuma Levi, not like Rav Huna, that we're concerned that if you're going to be making it for him, that is forbidden. That's not considered Lacham. However, the Gemara does tell us that Merema Umazutra, Kihava Mekaleh Lahu Nachri B'Yamtiv, when a non-Jewish guest would pop in on them, would visit them on Yamtiv, so Amalei they would tell them as follows. Look, Inichaloch B'mai D'Trichalon, if you're happy, if you're satisfied with what we have already worked on and made for the meal, then Mutav, that's okay, and then you could stay. V'iloy, if not, Tirchi Yisera Daiti D'Duch Le'Tachin, you should just know, we're not going to put an extra effort for you. And that's how they avoided the problem of Shemayam B'Shviloy. They're saying, look, we made a certain amount. We cannot make food for you because it's only lechem, not for a non-Jewish person. So therefore, look, you want that, you're satisfied with what's here already, and fine, you can join. But if not, we're not going to do anything more for you, again, because of that problem of making food for a non-Jew on Yom Tov, which is asr, because on lechem, v'loy la'ib d'kachavim, and not for non-Jewish people. Now Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme about Machlekes and Bisham Bishil on the halachas of Yom Tov. Bishami Aymim, Lo yochim odim chaman l'raglav. Now this follows on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding Eichel Nefesh. Now the question is, how far does that heter extend? Beshameh say that one cannot warm up warm water, although one can make warm water on Yom Tov, if he's doing it for his feet, to wash his feet, because the Torah permits you only to warm up hot water for Eichel Nefesh, if it's for consumption, but not to heat up water to be able to bathe oneself. Only Elam can ruin the Shtiyah. Beshami say only if it's fit for drinking, then you could warm up water, then you could use it whatever you want to do. But since it's fit for drinking, which is Eichel Nefesh, but then you would be able to warm it up. But if not, if it's dirty water which you can't drink, you can't warm it up to wash your foot. Ubisil Matir and Basil hold that no, it's permitted. We allowed all things that are extensions from this, even allowing one to bathe one's feet. Now the Mishnah concludes, Aisa ad Madura, a person can make a large fire, umescham connect and use it to warm himself up opposite. Related to this heter of one can make a fire, it even allows one for one warming oneself up. Now that the Gemara says, Ibarlu, I had a question regarding this last halacha of the Mishnah. Hi Madura, this bonfire that they permit to be made on Yom Tov, man ketanila, who is this that said this? And that is, do we say divrei hakali that this is going according to everybody, even according to Beis Shammai? Because v'shanyulahu l'Beis Shammai bein hanos kol gufay, Beis Shammai differentiates between a case when your entire body will have pleasure, which is the case of the bonfire, where that's very similar to Eichel Nefesh, where the food comes into you and the nutrients go throughout one's body. Therefore, the same would apply externally too, where the fire is going for your whole body. That there, Beis Shammai would agree that that's permitted. L'hanos ever echad, to the difference of when it's just the pleasure of one limb, which he said, look, you're not allowed to warm up water if it's just to bathe one foot. But Madura, even though it's not Eichel Nefesh, that would be permitted because of what's one's entire body. Oydimor, maybe the Gemara asks, Beis Hill Gitani Law, maybe that last statement is actually Beis Hill. Bishami, Lo Yishan Lo, but Bishami do not differentiate whether it's one limb, the entire body, it doesn't make a difference. Only food, Eichel Nefesh, that's permitted. But a bonfire, even if your whole body will enjoy that, it doesn't make a difference, that will be Aser. So another Gemara says, Tarshama, come in here, clear Brisa that says, Bishami Aymrim, Lo Yasa Adim Madura Bisham Connect. Bishami say that it's forbidden to create a bonfire, to make that so that one can warm up his entire body. Ubisil Matim, Bisil holds permitted, and therefore it's obvious that our Mishnah's last statement was Bisil and not Bishami. Now the Gemara continues on this Machlekes Bishami and Bishil regarding halachas of Yom Tov. So it says it in the way of Shleisha Devarim Rabbi Gamliel Machmer Kadivri Bishami. There were three halachas, three things that Rabbi Gamliel was stringent, like the opinion of Bishami, which the Gemara will explain the reason. Which these are the following three things. In Timnes Acham and Lekitchilah B'Yamtiv, one cannot initially insulate which is a type of cooking, which is bishul, and there's afiyah, and there's taimnin, which is insulating food and thereby gets cooked, initially from Yom Tov to Shabbos. The second halacha that he was machmor was ve'ein zeik v'nes amaneir b'yom tov, that one cannot pick up a candelabra that fell down on Yom Tov, which it sounds like that if a menorah of metal fell down, you can't straighten it up and put it right side up. And third halacha that he followed like Bishami was ve'ein eifen pitin gritzen, that one cannot bake this thick type of bread, the thick type of loaves, because of the exertion involved in it, elirikikin, only these thin wafer type of breads. Now, Amrim Leil says, Mimein shel beis abba, from all the times of my father's household, lahaya eifen pitin gritzen, they never baked on Yom Tov thick loaves of bread, elirikikin, rather just thin wafer-like types of breads. So Amr Leil, they said to him, Leil, manasa la beis avicha, what are we going to do to your father's household? That they were stringent on themselves, as in this case, but they were lenient for the entire Jewish people. That they allowed the Jewish people to bake these thick loaves of bread. And also the chararin, which are these types of breads that they bake on the coals, that although that your father's household didn't do it, they said it's forbidden for themselves, but for the Jewish people, they permitted it and they said that it's mutter. Now the Gemara asks on the first of the three halachas that we mentioned, which was that Rimliel was machmer, like Bishamai, not to do hatmana, not to insulate food from Yom Tov, which is on Friday, for Shabbos. Now the Gemara is heichadami. What exactly is the case that we're talking about? Ida anach eruv tavshilin, if we're talking about that they had made an eruv tavshilin, which is cooking or baking something from before Yom Tov, which sounds like that you're starting already the cooking for Shabbos, and hence you could complete it and conclude it on Yom Tov for the next day of Shabbos. So my time with the Bishamay. What would be the reason of Bishamay, which Rimliel was machmer like, not to do hatmana from Yom Tov to Shabbos, if you're allowed to do cooking, baking at hatmana from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Now, v'id loy anach erev tavshilin, and if the case is talking about that they didn't make an erev tavshilin, so my time with the Bishil. So what would be the reason of Bishil? Meaning, it's obviously machlekes Bisham Bishil. Rimliel was machmer like Bishamay, but why would Bishil say that's mutter if no erev tavshilin was done? You can't go ahead and do hatmana or bake or do anything from Yom Tov to Shabbos without an erev tavshilin. So the first Teretz the Gemara brings is Amrav Huna, says, really, truthfully, I'll tell you that the case is talking about that the person did not make Erev Tavshil. Now, it's still not a question on Beisil, because Beisil hold that what's necessary for a person's sustenance for his life, the Rabbanan permitted the person to still make food from Yom Tov to Shabbos, even without Erev Tavshil. As the Gemara says, Rav Huna Tamei, Rav Huna goes, who just gave this Teretz, according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere. Then Rav Huna says, Mishla hinich eruv tavshilin, someone that did not leave over, didn't make an eruv tavshilin, these foods that would allow a person to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos. In spite of that, oifon loy pas achas, we allow him to bake one piece of bread. Umavashna keder achas, we allow him to cook one pot of food. We continue on top of chabezim and alf. Umadlikin loy esener, and we light from a candle. Shem Yitzchuk kamer, in the name of Yitzchuk, they said, avtsoin loy dog cotton, that they could even roast a small fish for him. So that's where Rav Huna is coming from when he says that it's going like Bishil even without Erev Tavshilin, which Rimliel was machlik like Bishamai, but Bishil hold that you could do hatmana from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Tanei hach, it's similar in the Braisa. Mishla hinich Erev Tavshilin, someone that did not leave over Erev Tavshilin. The Braisa says like Rav Huna, oifenly pas achas, we could bake one loaf of bread for him, over time in loy kedera achas, we could insulate one pot for him, uman likin lars aner, and we could light from a candle, umachama loy kitin echad, we could warm up for him one flask of water. And some say after like dark cotton, we could even roast for him a small fish. And that's how Rav Huna resolves exactly what the case is talking about by saying that there's no erev tavshilin. That's what Bishami held that it's aser, and that's what Gamliel was. But Rav Huna hold you could still do hatmana because we allow these minimum things kedei chayiv shel adam for a person's sustenance for his life, for his necessities that he needs on Shabbos.